When we recently launched the Settling the Virus debate statement, some people were surprised that Dr. Stefan Lanker was not amongst the 20 signatories. The reason for this was explained when Dr. Tom Cowan and my husband Mark went live with the virus challenge on the 15th of July. Stefan believes that virology has already been refuted and there is no need to offer them any more chances. We completely appreciated Stefan's sentiments, but the main reason we proceeded is that only a minority of the population is aware of the lack of evidence for pathogenic viruses. The statement was thus aimed at drawing in more of the public so that they can see what the discussion is about. Once the door is open for them, it is likely that their interest will be piqued and they'll realise that the viral model is flawed. There is no doubt that for those of us involved in this movement, we are standing on the shoulders of the pioneers who started this before us, and one of the undisputed giants is Stefan Lanker. We were going to invite Stefan to come on my platform for a chat, but then I thought, no, let's give him a day off and get to work producing a video to honour the great scientist and humanitarian.
What they have in reality in their test tubes, right? They have nothing. All right, stop, collaborate and
listen. I sit back with my brand new invention. When we came up with the idea of making a virology in 5 seconds video, there was only one person for the job. Stefan's ability to summarize years of careful analysis into one-liners was all the more hilarious for those aware of just how much work he has done in this area over the past 3 decades.
And this materialistic thinking that we reduce everything down to molecular level and to explain life just on the action on some molecules, proteins or genetic material, I think this is, you have all to keep in your mind to understand why they are always in search to find easy explanation for complex illnesses.
Dr. Rerum Naturalium, Stefan Lanker, was born in Konstanz, West Germany on the 27th of September 1963. From the time he was young, he had an interest in biology, including marine biology and the nature of water. In the 1980s, he spent some time in the German armed forces and received special training in reconnaissance with directional and direction-finding radio. But then it was back to his true passion, to pursue the study of biology at the University of Konstanz.
Look, I think it's irresponsible after 20 years of virology just to come up with new techniques, with new methods, and to say this is the final proof of a virus. You just come up with a stretch of genetic material which you say it represents the viral genetic material, and you pour it onto cells and you redetect it. And then you just look, it's there. And because I can redetect it or re-isolate it, what I put in before, then that is the proof of a virus. This is just a stupid circular argument. It's incredible.
During his studies, Stefan isolated bacteriophages from the sea. However, unlike most researchers who simply parrot previous hypotheses, he subsequently reached a different conclusion than the virologists. Stefan noted that the term phage was incorrect. These particles were not preying on bacteria in a parasitic way. The particles were spore-like in nature, which formed when the bacterial cells were in particular environmental conditions. They were not pathogenic, and therefore not viral, as is widely claimed. As Stefan wrote in 2020, these phages could be photographed, isolated as whole particles, and all their components could be biochemically determined and characterized. This is real and cannot be contested. This, however, has never happened with the alleged viruses of humans, animals, and plants, because these do not exist. In the 1990s, Stefan was known as a virologist, but was speaking out against the prevailing HIV/AIDS dogma. He pointed out that the likes of Gallo, Montagnier, and Fauci had fabricated the virus story, and that there was no evidence that a particle termed HIV existed and acted as a pathogen to cause the condition AIDS.
HIV have been or has been ever isolated? And the clear answer is no. If they take only patient material from a patient, they never will succeed in viral isolation. They may detect a certain protein of a given size saying, well, this is part of HIV. They will find stretches of genetic material amplified with PCR saying, well, this is part of HIV. And this is absolutely wrong.
As became characteristic of his teachings, he warned that fear narratives themselves lead not only to sickness, but also to an early death. He urged people not to be waylaid by the establishment AIDS story. In 1996, he even suggested that it could be renamed artificially induced deadly stress. He also explained the medico-pharmaceutical industry's trick of reclassifying existing conditions to invent new diseases for their own purposes.
Drug abusers, who some of them live under persistent stress, or they get dirty street drugs, and which immediately would damage the liver or destroy the liver, so they have hepatitis as well, the drug abusers. Yeah? We don't need viruses to explain hepatitis inflammation. You know, alcohol, poisons, yeah? and wrong malnutrition, you know, everything is causing the liver to suffer. When people have a history of hepatitis, most likely they are positive in the HIV antibody test, or put it other way around. I never found a person testing positive who had no problems with its liver, because the liver has a lot of regenerative power, means a lot of decay of cells when being absolutely intoxified, but that means a lot of cells inside your body. And if immune functions are suppressed, then antibodies are produced against your own proteins.
Stefan was greatly influenced by the Perth groups Eleni Papadopoulos, Aliopoulos, and Valentina Turner. In 1992, Eleni inspired Stefan to consider the lack of evidence for pathogenic viruses and to share this knowledge with others. I was blessed to have one phone call with Eleni before she died earlier this year. And her words, though brief, were also inspirational to me. It was no surprise to us when we found out that some of our biggest influences in questioning the existence of viruses, the Perth Group and Stefan Lenker, had already connected 3 decades earlier. Stefan has collaborated with many scientists over the years, including Erwin Chargaff, who described the structure of nucleic acids and was one of the earliest critics of molecular biology, describing the field as running riot and doing things that can never be justified. Carrie Mullis, the developer of the PCR. And Ivan Illich, the author of Medical Nemesis, which famously opens with the line, "The medical establishment has become a major threat to health." In 2003, Stefan set up the independent publishing platform Wissenschaft Plus. It was a natural development given that the scientific journals are completely controlled by the industry and do not allow serious rebuttals of their narratives. The only way to get the information out was to go directly to the public. Over the past 2 decades, Wissenschaft Plus has featured hundreds of articles critiquing alleged viral diseases, germ theory, vaccines, bioweapon mythology, HIV, influenza, cancer, the WHO, and then, of course, from early 2020 on, the COVID-19 fraud involving the fictional SARS-CoV-2 virus.
And this is how I ran into the real virology, seeing that there is virus in the title, but no virus in the paper, no structure.
In 2011, Stefan became concerned about proposals to mandate the measles vaccine for children in Germany. He concluded that the best way to stop it would be to get some public attention on the measles science. Why not show them that there was no scientific evidence that the virus even existed, let alone was the causative agent of the condition? So he offered a reward of 100,000 euros to anyone who could prove the existence and the size of the measles virus by means of a scientific publication. In 2015, the physician Dr. David Bardens attempted to sue Stefan for the 100,000 euros, claiming that the six papers he had submitted proved the existence of a measles virus. The case was heard in a lower court, which ordered that Stefan would have to pay out the money. This resulted in a field day for the media and the medico-pharmaceutical industry.
A German man has to put his money where the measles is. A German court is requiring anti-vaccination advocate Stefan Lanka to pay a doctor about $100,000 after promising the money to anyone who could prove measles is a virus. After more than 3 hours of testimony, a German court ruled that Dr. Bardens should receive the promised prize money.
This was German biologist Stefan Lanka. I love the story. He offered 100,000 euro for proof that measles exist, and a court made him pay. And this German biologist, Stefan Lanka, said, "You know what? If anyone can even prove that measles exists and is a virus, I will pay 100,000 euro. He thought measles was a psychosomatic illness caused or aggravated by mental factors such as conflict or stress. The funniest thing about this is, I'm the first person to tell you, we have so many overdiagnosed conditions in our society that are psychosomatic, caused by internal conflict or stress. And the medical community doesn't seem that well equipped to relate that. At the same time, measles is not one of those conditions. Measles is a virus. It was proven and Stefan Lanka was ordered to pay."
Which makes me think he's crazy. Right. Because it's one of the most researched ailments we have.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand why he went after measles.
Stefan knew in advance that it was likely to be an unfavorable outcome in the lower court because they don't rely on expert witness testimony. So he appealed against the first ruling and put his case before a higher court in February 2016, where he won. Dr. Bardens launched an appeal against this ruling to the highest court in Germany, but the appeal was dismissed in December 2016. To this day, the media and disingenuous virus promoters claim that Stefan only won the case on a technicality or as a result of a semantic formulation. This is complete nonsense. During the proceedings, Professor Andreas Podbielski, head of the Department of Medical Microbiology and Virology in Rostock, suggested that taking the papers all together, they could perhaps be considered to provide evidence for the measles virus. But then he admitted that not one of Bardens' six papers had been conducted with control experiments, following internationally defined rules and principles of good scientific practice. In other words, the best six papers in the measles, quote, virus literature didn't follow the scientific method. We covered the case in my video, The Measles Myth, last year. In this video, I outline each of the six papers that were presented in court and explain why none of them constitute evidence for the existence of a virus. Stefan has also written several commentaries on the case, and I recommend reading Dismantling the Virus Theory, the measles virus as an example. I'll put the link in the show notes. In Virus Mania, we also documented the 1911 animal studies by John Anderson and Joseph Goldberger. The inappropriately designed experiments certainly provided no evidence that measles is transmitted by a microbe. When Coronamania was foisted onto the world in late 2019 and early 2020, the preposterousness of the narrative woke many of us up. For me, I didn't even know that questioning the existence of viruses was a thing until that point. I remember when Mark sat me down and said, "This may sound crazy, but I don't think pathogenic viruses exist." Our investigations into virology and germ theory had begun. We found the works of Torsten Engelbrecht and Klaus Kuhnlein, who later that year would invite me to be a co-author for their book. We also found the Perth Group and Stefan Lanka. We were intrigued that Stefan had once been a, quote, insider and was often referred to as a virologist, but had been saying for decades that the widely believed virus model was wrong.
So we have a building block of life misinterpreted as a virus. First bacteriophage, then giant virus, and virology, poor virology, due to the Nobel Prize of Enders for his polio, you know, piece of brain and chicken fibroblast finding, you know, that viruses are not tissue specific. He got the Nobel Prize for this. For a virology with that definitely was overthrown in 54, but the public didn't know. And the Nobel Prize had the function to keep up with this virology because they run all the vaccination and would not abandon the vaccination. Even the model fall apart and was disproven.
Coming back to the settling the virus debate statement, Stefan put forward the case that there was no need for us to extend the offer to the virologists to perform blinded experiments because they had already refuted themselves. We certainly agree with this, but as I mentioned, the statement was a strategy to shine more light on the state of virology. Despite a few parties attempting to criticize and distract from the statement, none of them produced any evidence that scientifically controlled experiments had been performed. It has been interesting to see some virus promoters doubling down on their position, sometimes embarrassing themselves by putting forward already rebutted arguments. However, others have been motivated to take a closer look at virology and have realized the state of the science. Viruses are a story, not a scientific theory. So hopefully, Stefan, we will see that the strategy has sped up the unraveling of virology as the audience grows and even more people are becoming aware of your work. In any case, in March 2021, Stefan joined Tom Cowan to outline the 7 points of how the virus story had already refuted itself. And this is how it goes. Point one, no valid control experiments for claimed cytopathic effects.
Stefan, could you walk us through those 7 steps?
Oh, please, yeah. The first step I mentioned already. Since Enders, every virologist believes when his cell cultures are dying in the test tube, right, that there must have been a virus, but they never controlled it. So we controlled it twice already, and we get the cells dying without infectious material.
Point two, structures in electron microscopy images are not shown to be viral.
The next step, what they are doing, they use particles inside the tissue. They fix the tissue and cut it in thin slices and look through the electron microscope. And they find some typical structures of dying cells, villi, you know, some tissue dots, they walk like amoebs. And when they cut through with the electron microscope, they show only the circles and claim, oh, those are viruses. But they never ever were isolating those structures showing, look, this is the viral nucleic acid inside, the viral proteins. And no control experiments. They never did the same with tissue cultures, exactly treated in the same manner. You must imagine, they never ever did it.
Point three, no physical isolation or biochemical characterization of any virus particles.
They come up with another sort of particles claiming where they said, oh, those are viral particles. And if you go into the technical details, you easily see that they centrifuge all the proteins in the test tube down to the button. And then they take it up with a syringe and mix it. And so they vortex this mixture out of proteins, fatty acid, and detergents. And what we have soap bubbles. The German expression is Mycele. I think in English it's mycel, right?
Yeah,
so the soap bubbles. And they add color, stain, let it dry, and use another technique of electron microscopy to look from above on these particles. So the same, they never isolated those particles and say, look, here we have the biochemistry, we have the viral proteins, we have the viral nucleic acid.
They don't have it, okay?
Point four, no control experiments for the alignment of virus genomes and no confirmation that the claimed complete nucleic acid strands exist in nature.
From billions of small genetic debris, they are sequencing, they read the sequence of very small pieces, and then they add them up to a large piece. They add them up, and this process is called alignment. And it's incredible that they never ever carried out a control experiment with equally treated cell cultures, equally treated cell culture, and just doing the same. No control experiments. And the fact which itself they are disproving themselves, they add something to a big piece, and the big piece never ever showed up in reality. And since 50 years, it's easy to show up that there is a big genetic material of this given size is there. This is called gel electrophoresis. This is a standard technique to show, yeah, I have a piece of genetic material this given size.
Point five. Invented in silico templates are being used to find viruses in uncontrolled experiments.
In order to build a genome of the virus, when they came up, oh, I find a new virus in Wuhan, or I repeat the experiment, they always need a given genome as a point of orientation where they add the smaller pieces, where they do fit to a given genome. So this would be like a sentence out of the Bible from with 30,000 letters, right? And we use a small letters combination of 1, 2, 3, 5 letters and try to fix them to the place where they fit, right? And no control experiments again. And the control experiments would be to try to get the alignment of another RNA virus, which would be a measles virus, which would be Ebola virus, HIV, right? This would be the control experiment with the same data set. Let's try if we can fabricate another virus. And I can tell you, yes, it's like this. I showed it already in the measles virus process. And here in Corona, it's going to shown hopefully soon, right? So
in other words, you can take the same raw data set, the same pieces of short pieces of RNA in the mixture, and then you can create you can find the template for the coronavirus, or yes, the template for the HIV virus, or yes, the template for the measles virus. And then you tell the computer to orient it or align it to that template, and in each case it will, which will make you say, yes, I found this person has measles, they have HIV, they have Ebola, they have Zika, and by the way, they have coronavirus.
That's it.
Point six, no pathogenic viruses have ever been found directly from living organisms.
Virology never ever saw a virus inside a living being or inside its liquids, and it's easy. Everybody can check it easily on every single photograph of a virus, which should show a virus. You'll find the notion that it's from a cell culture, but never from the blood, never from the salvia, never from the semen, never from another liquid of the body, never from a lymph node, never from inside, not from a human, not from an animal, not from a plant.
Point seven. No disease transmission has ever been demonstrated in controlled scientific experiments.
When the old virology was disproving itself themselves, they find out when they took out animal experiments, they never ever were able to transmit a disease, an infectious disease. But this is said nowadays, you know, that we have a model for COVID-19, we have a model for measles, we have this and that. So, and if you check these publications, you'll see that they are A, completely anti-scientific because no controls, and B, that the treatment of the animals, injecting large amounts of liquid into the brain, inside the ear, inside the eye, with a tube inside your lungs, that the the conditions of the experiments themselves are causing the disease.
To demonstrate the anti-science being used to propagate the COVID-19 fraud, in 2021, Stefan proceeded to organise a three-phase control experiment. Phase one involved refuting the claim that cytopathic effects were the specific result of imagined viruses. In the case of SARS-CoV-2, teams such as Ping Zhao et al. In China and Jennifer Harcourt et al. In the United States presented such tissue breakdown images in their papers as evidence of the alleged virus. Stefan's cell culture experiments were performed without the addition of any sample claimed to contain any viruses. It was shown that cytopathic effects depicted by the white arrows were induced simply by stressing the cells with passaging and antibiotics. The addition of yeast RNA, shown in the fourth column, induced even more cytopathic effects. It confirmed what had been suspected since John Ender's 1954 measles experiment. Cytopathic effects are non-specific and do not require the existence of viruses. With regard to the phase two experiment, we can hand over to Stefan to explain what was done.
Second phase of the experiment, we took the nucleic acid out of the healthy human tissue, we multiply them, and when we multiply them in a very strict scientific manner, that means only 12 times, we'll get 20% of the genome of SARS-CoV-2. And when we use 30 cycles, which is considered in biochemistry as already dirty and not scientific, we'll get, when we use the same error rate like virologists are using, we'll get 100% of the genome. And virologists, can you imagine, they are using 40 to 45 cycles. And what they are using, they add to the cells a lot of synthesized small molecules with given sequence, such a high amount that they add already 20% of the sequences later. They are reading and say, look, this is part of the virus. And this is what the control experiment in the second phase were showing, that all this, what they are saying, is the genetic material of a virus comes out of normal human tissue. It's nothing specific for something which comes from the outside. It's pure human sequences. And we use the same techniques biologists are using and we'll get the same result. And that means this is the disproval of all this speaking and claiming that we have a viral genetic material and that we can detect it with PCR in the body. This has been disproven with the second phase of our experiments, and they are going to be published in 6 to 8 weeks.
Phase three of the experiment was titled Structural Analysis of Sequence Data in Virology, an Elementary Approach Using SARS-CoV-2 as an Example. Among other identified problems, the analysis revealed that Fan Wu's original SARS-CoV-2 genome could not be reproduced, even with their own raw data and described methodology. The analysis also found that at 35 to 45 cycles of PCR amplification, the virologists could, quote, find whatever sequence they wanted to, and that Fan Wu could have found better matches for, quote, HIV and hepatitis D virus in the lung fluid of a man claimed to be one of the first cases of COVID-19. The full report is very technical, so Mark summarised the main findings earlier this year in his article, Doe Ex Machina and the Invention of SARS-CoV-2. The three phases of the experiments were an eloquent demonstration of the whole facade of virology. Virology has kept alive the virus story by limiting itself to descriptive science instead of following the scientific method with hypothesis-driven, falsifiable experiments. It has either failed to disclose and/or avoided valid control experiments in order to keep the myth alive.
And that's the end of virology, of course.
Stefan, I know there have been some frustrations over the years. Despite what you have shown the world, most people still fear imaginary viruses, and governments continue to pass egregious legislation based on anti-science. However, your passion for science and life has inspired people all around the world, including the Baileys. This movement has gained far greater support in the past few years than we've ever seen before, and much of it is due to you. Thank you for your many contributions. Now we are equipped to have a better understanding of biology and have been shown a wiser path for humanity. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com